Grace and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God which we consider this morning is from the fifth chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Ephesus, and we read verses 8 and 9. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Please bow your heads with me in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for these your words, and we ask that you would bless us through them. Strengthen our faith and sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. He's gone to the dark side. You may have used that phrase before. I think most of the time when that phrase gets used, the speaker has in mind the image of Star Wars, where all evil and malice and hatred in the universe is encapsulated into that one entity known as the dark side of the Force. I think when we use that phrase, usually we're doing it out of sarcasm. We don't usually really mean that Uncle Jim has become an evil, cape-wearing Sith Lord just because he roots for the Yankees. But beyond our joking remarks, there is a real war that is going on between a light side and a dark side. And to set the record straight, Star Wars is not real. The Force is a metaphysical construct of George Lucas's imagination. But there is a real dark side, and there is a real light side. And the conflict between the two is hardly a matter we can afford to joke about. This is a battle that we are in the middle of. And at one time, we were on the enemy lines, on the opposite side of God. Bought by the blood of Christ, however, we now belong to the light. And St. Paul tells us that now we are to live as children of the light. So today I would like to talk about two aspects of living as children of the light. This means first that we have nothing to do with the darkness, and second, that we reflect the light of Christ. As children of light, we have been delivered out of the darkness, so how can we have anything to do with it anymore? The Christians living in the city of Ephesus lived right on the battlefield between light and darkness. The city was a significant port in the Roman Empire, and as such, it offered all opportunity for materialism, for idolatry, for loose living. Many of the Christians in the city could probably remember a time before their conversion when they had indulged in such sinful living. But the light of the gospel had come. They had been delivered from the darkness. And yet, there were still the tempting voices of sin and darkness all around them, seeking to seduce them. We live not a very different story today in Mankato, Minnesota. Now, you won't find brothels on the main street of town. You won't find a temple to Artemis here in Mankato. But we have temptations all around us nonetheless. And we may not be able to remember the time when we were converted and brought into the light. But like the Ephesians, there was a time when we were all in the darkness. There was a time when we were all a part of the enemy camp. From the first moment of life, we were on the wrong side. But when the whole world was in the darkness of sin and death, the light came. Christ lived a perfect life in our dark world. And though the skies darkened and it seemed like sin was victorious on Good Friday when Christ died, he broke forth from the tomb and proclaimed that darkness was defeated. He proclaimed that our freedom from sin and the tyranny of death had been won. And in your own life, Christ has called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light by his Holy Spirit. You might say that in your baptism, the Holy Spirit flipped on the light switch. You are in the light, and Christ's words apply to you when he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So why would we ever want to go back to the darkness? That would make about as much sense as a soldier being rescued from an enemy prison camp only to turn around and go back and visit his captors. Living in the light, we not only avoid the darkness, but we also seek to reflect the light of Christ. The Lord has made us children of the light, and he wants us to be lights in the world. Now, there's no natural power of luminescence within any one of us. We have no power to be lights in the world by ourselves. If we were to broadcast what's in us by nature, we would be giving off darkness and not light. There is only one light, and that is Christ. But when he shines on us, we reflect his light. We are not the light ourselves, but Paul tells us we are light in the Lord. Like the moon reflects the sun, or like a mirror can reflect rays of light, we reflect Christ when he shines on us. And we see him shine on us in his word, when we hear about his life for us, when we hear about his death and resurrection, when we hear his love for us and his forgiveness. And Paul tells us what our reflective actions, words, and attitudes should look like. He says, "The fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." How do we know if the things that we are doing have these characteristics of goodness, righteousness, and truth? We can measure them against God's word. If you want to see if a glass is clean, you hold it up to the light. If you want to see if a $100 bill is genuine, you hold it up to the light. If we want to see if our works are good and right and true, reflecting Christ, we hold them against God's word. And there we see what in our actions is good, and there we see what is not, and we repent of it. Now, this will not make us perfect in this life. As long as we live in this flesh, the old Adam will still be giving his allegiance to the force of darkness. But when we stand in the light, we have forgiveness. A continual source of forgiveness. As John writes, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness." It is because Christ shines on us that we are children of the light. It is because he shines on us that we reflect his light. And there are some wonderful results from reflecting the light of Christ. When we do so, we glorify God. And when we do so, we give light to our neighbors as well. Think about all of the people around you who live in the darkness, who need to know that their Savior loves them and has won their deliverance. In your actions, you can reflect the love of Christ that dwells in you. In your words, you can let the light of the law and the gospel glow. In Christ and by all that he has done, you are children of the light. And so we hear what St. Paul tells us, to live as children of the light. And may the God who caused light to shine out of darkness, let his Son, the light of the world, shine in your heart until the battle is ended and we have life eternal. Amen. Please rise. And we pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for bringing us to know the love that our Heavenly Father has for us, that he sent his only Son to redeem us. We thank you for letting us see the love of our Savior, that he gave his life for us. Remind us always of this love. Keep us in the true faith. Enlighten us by the word, and fill us with the light of Christ and his love, that we may be lights to the world. We ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.